Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is a team of Voices Presents Liquid Damage with me, Linda, and fearfully so, we are missing our Carmine. He will be back next week, however. He's having a problem with his wife, so everybody say a prayer. Anyway, this is a show, and with AP Taylor sponsoring, our group is filled with love and respect. We are all so happy to see you here. There are poets from all over the globe with listeners from over 60 countries. I can't get over it every time I say it. The hosting team offer a variety of programs for your entertainment. There is something for you going on every night of the week. You'll never know what we have up our sleeves, like jokes, poetry games, slams, talk shows, magic tricks, contests, and special events with poetic topics from A to Z. And you are invited to join us for all the fun. Just click on to listen to the live show or to hear any pre-recorded episode, and you can also call up to participate at 1-646-668-2837. You can find our hosts and hostesses writing over at allpoetry.com and hanging out in the 18 of Voices Radio Group chat room. Our hosts and hostesses push love and respect. Stop in and check us out. So I'm all so very glad that you're here tonight. We have AP Taylor with us. Say hi, AP.
Hi, Little Epidemic. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad that you're here. And we have Hatter.
Yes.
Hi, Hatter.
Hello.
Are you there, Hatter? There he is. How you doing, buddy?
I'm okay. I'm okay.
Did anybody bring any jokes today?
Oh.
I was waiting on yours, Linda.
Do they have to be clean jokes?
No.
Yes.
Not really. It has to be clean jokes. I thought because we weren't under 17 anymore that we could push that a little bit. But I have a good one.
Yeah.
What did Kermit the Frog
go
say at Jim Henson's funeral?
Say that again.
What did Kermit the Frog say
at Jim Henson's funeral?
Croak? Probably croak.
Pretty darn close, but it's nothing. Get it?
Yes.
How could he
but
say
nothing.
Something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why does a fish eat snails? Why does a fish eat snails?
It's all curled up. It's all curled up.
No. They don't like fast
food. Why does
food.
A what?
They don't like fast food.
You know what I saw a video of?
Yeah.
You know what I saw a video of? It was this guy put a small turtle about the size that you could fit in your hand. So he fashioned a little skateboard. That he put the turtle on, and his feet could touch the ground. That thing was zipping around the floor, chasing a cat. He even got to where it was hilarious. It was like he was
he
bound.
He got his diggy on.
Yeah, it was funny. The cat didn't know what was going on with that. The turtle was looking. It was hilarious.
Most times I would think that would be cruel, but since the cat was involved, pretty funny.
Well,
pretty funny.
Yeah, cruel thing was taking the skateboard away from him, probably crushed that turtle. Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
So what a frog meeting Paris.
What is a what?
What do frogs eat in Paris?
Eat in Paris.
Yeah.
What do frogs eat in Paris? I don't know.
French flies.
Flies. I wouldn't say French fries. French fries.
Why did Bob bring a ladder to the bar?
Good question.
Isn't that a good question?
It is a good question. Why did he bring a ladder to the bar?
He heard the drinks were on the house.
On the house.
Very good, very good. So anybody else got any jokes? Hatter?
Yeah, they're not one-liners, though.
That's okay.
You know, I had a file made that had jokes in it. We'll find that. I don't even know what's in it. Okay. So how is the weather in Alaska?
It's cold. It's very cold.
It's supposed to be cold? Really?
It's actually supposed to be warming up. But we had snow day before yesterday.
Ah.
And yeah, we started, the crane showed up a week ago Sunday, last Sunday. So they've been here almost 2 weeks. And when the cranes show up, that marks the beginning of spring. And they were out there walking in the snow, which is unusual. So the snow's pretty much melted off. I mean, there's patches of snow, but their area is cleared off and Jerry can go put the corn out there. But, yeah, then it snows the other day. It didn't really stick, but, you know, it got cold and we said we're spring. So it's really a drag that, you know, it keeps coming. It keeps trying to come and then it poops back into winter. So we're hoping this time because you know what? It started snowing and I'm thinking, they're delivering my new furniture. But you know what? God was with me and kept me dry while they delivered my beautiful, brand new charcoal gray living room ensemble. And it's beautiful. And it makes my living room look 3 times bigger than it was.
That's cool.
But I'm very happy with it. Yeah, it's all recliners. The sofa's reclined and the recliners rock.
Yep.
So I have rocking recliners. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's really cool.
That's nice.
And there's cup holders in the love seat. There's a little console where you can set your cup and a place for me to put my writing pad and pencil. And,
I got one.
Okay.
Why did the Nazi chicken cross the road?
I don't know,
Adam. Why did the Nazi chicken cross the road?
He was just following the orders.
He was what?
Following orders.
Oh, he was following orders.
Ah.
That's great.
There you go.
Orders from headquarters.
I've got a cat joke, Linda.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a knock knock joke. Are you ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Knock knock. Who's there? Kitten who?
Kitten who?
Quit kitten around and open the door.
You let me in. Somebody at the door. Hello, 270. Who's calling?
It'll be Wayne.
Wayne.
How y'all doing?
I never recognize your zip code. Anyway, you now. How's it going, buddy?
I'm busy all day. I'm still getting in the house, so I'm running behind. So I'm here. I'm running a bit behind.
Well, I'm glad you're here. We need more people in the house. So anyway, we were just kidding around, telling some jokes. You got any jokes?
Not right this minute.
Okay.
Gay horse eat?
Gay horse eat. I don't know what does a gay horse eat.
Hey.
I thought it had something to do with that. Hey.
Yay.
Very good.
There you go.
Okay. Well, maybe
not
we should get some poetry in here. Right.
Yeah, what do you want to
do? We have a poem from Lawrence, 67, part two of last month's poem, The Olympics.
Yes.
Would you like to pull that up?
Oh, is that with Alf?
I will.
Is that with Alf?
Now, Linda.
Alf and Simon.
Okay.
Can you guys hear me okay? I've got a headset. Is it working okay?
Yeah, we can.
We're good? Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Yep.
Uh-oh, I don't see it there.
Did you want me to read that, if you can see it? I have put it up there.
Yeah, you're going to need help, but I'm going to have to I can't Bye. Find.
I can help.
Two. There we go.
I'll be in touch.
Yeah, you got you two can read it, because I think all it takes is two people.
I will be the announcer. Yeah.
Okay.
And that would mean that you're skeptical. Yeah, you got it?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Yep.
This is the old Olympics, and it goes a bit like this. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second annual Olympics, brought to you by Crappers Extra Heavy Duty Padding for that big crap chappers. Crappers, where their motto is, you smile while you're taking a shit with no regret. I'm your announcer for these festivities, and by my side, as always, the color commentator, Skip Skeptical. How's it going, Skip?
I don't know. I think it might be catastrophe.
Well, that's a very confident remark. Thank you. Today, we've got a star-studded field of octogenarians in the 100-inch dash. We've got the returning gold medalist going for an unprecedented second gold medal. What do you think about that, Skip?
Yeah, no one's ever lived long enough to make it to two of the old Olympics. He's got to be 163 years old.
Well, thank you for that expert command. And then, in the 4x4 nap relay, the team from Snooze City is looking sharp and the favorites to win the relay.
Yeah, if they can just stay awake long up, if they can stay up long enough to pass the prize.
And in the run, stop, and drop event, we have got an open field. It's anyone's race. Don't you think, Skip?
Well, yeah, they're having strokes and heart attacks in practice.
Yeah. And we will return right after these commercial messages. Have you ever woken up with that gut feeling that starts at the bottom of your stomach and you quickly put your slippers on, hurry to the bathroom, only to crap your pajamas before you can lift the toilet seat? Well, no more worries now with new and improved crappers for seniors. Now you can get that uneasy bean burrito and chimichanga combination feeling, and you can go ahead and let it blast, crap after crap, with contentment, knowing that our 16-ply 2x4 construction will not overflow. Go ahead and smile when you go back to Dreamland, fully comfortable and confidently. My Poochie, that smell not recommended for more than 3 days in Dreamland.
Okay. You're an amazing hoot. What do you eat for breakfast that gives you all that humor and wit? This was so full of funny. You're hot on hit the nail on the head. And I just love the 4x4 nap relay. One I would be great at. Keep your funny stuff, Florence. Keep it coming. We love it and we love you. Let me get you some more comments. AP, what did you think?
He's wonderful at conversations, Lawrence, and he can turn just about anything into something that's funny. And he managed here with great results. Yeah, it was really cool. I enjoyed it.
And Hatter. Nice
job,
AP.
The parodies on the commercials are always funny. You know, knowing that our 16-ply 2x4 construction will not overflow. I think it goes to the bathmatic that is Dan Aykroyd, the bathmatic. The bathmatic blender. Yeah.
Right. Very good.
I think
that was
think
funny. And I appreciate you guys reading it. You did a really great job. So thank you very much.
We'll wait for the check of the mail.
I don't know if one's coming, but I'll put a good word in.
I remember the first time I got a tribute show from the place we used to read poetry at. I didn't know anything about it when I got the tribute. I asked, when's the limo showing up? what do I get? I get a limo ride? Where's my trophy? He goes, you don't get no trophy. I go, well, what good is it? Look. My expectations were way too high.
Well,
call it a month.
Okay. Let's see what else we got.
I found my pin nug. So
yeah.
That's my disclaimer.
Did
for
you?
Night. Yeah.
What was it?
One.
Do you have a pen? Did we want to get wine to comment, Linda?
What was it?
Did we want to get Wayne to comment on that piece? Wayne.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't write him down. Wayne, what did you think?
Just forgot about me again. Well, I got the order for my damn order, two of the stepper cuppers right now, so I will get two of them. Lawrence always does a good job on his little narrative that he comes up with. I enjoy him every time he writes one, and he did a good job on this one. And I'm going to order me a couple of those things, but I'll probably need them pretty soon. Good job.
Hey, hon.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne. Yeah. Okay. We got more down. And the next one, I think we should do Jenny the Deep. And I'll read that one if I can.
You'll read that one? Okay. Yep. Cool.
Yeah.
So that is up on the board now.
Jenny the Deep. Here we go. This is called Boiling into Strangers by Jenny the Deep. Blood boils like water in a teapot. As you stir and shake me up, my head gets piping hot, making me crack like a porcelain teacup. Overfilling with heated bitterness, I break, picking up scattered pieces left alone. Into not a piece of crumb cake. Oh, is not a piece of crumb cake. Shattered, I burn in a broken home. As mist releases from my heart's kettle, a cooling temperature washes over me, wiping, hindering condensation that's settled. Reborn, our stranger's brood past 100 degrees. That was really awesome. With a great analogy of anger. She really put her heart and soul into this piece. I think my favorite part is the metaphor about my head getting piping hot, making many times I felt like that, and Jenny slept so well. You did a fantastic job, Jenny, on this. Well done. And please come back again next week. Fantastic piece. Really great analogy and great metaphor. Wayne.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty good poem here. She needs a new brewmaster, I think, because the one that she got now is pretty abusive. Great metaphor in this poem. Abuse isn't fun in any form or any fashion. But she did a good job writing this, and I like it a whole lot.
Right on. Hatter.
Yeah, you read the author's notes. It says, deep and personal on how a heated argument changed everything, unleashing strangers in the home.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it is interesting how anger changes a person's personality. Sometimes you don't even know them.
Yeah.
I've been
you gotta be careful. You don't know what day they're having. That's what everybody's gotta look for.
Right.
Like. If they're having a bad day.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah. That's what I said. I like the analogy of this, the anger part, like a exploding teapot.
Because
I get that when the whistle goes off in the teapot like it's going to explode, and you rush to turn it off because, you know, we don't want that. But that's what I got out of it, is the
so that last line,
teapot being too hot.
for that last line, reborn, exchanges a brood over a past 100 degrees. That what it means.
Right.
Is it the act of the argument that got hated, or is it because they're hot?
Right. And AP, what did you think?
Look, I really like that sense of change that comes over the poem when there's the temperature washes over and you've got that sense that things have changed, and I can really relate to that change, good damage, and it's sometimes hard to pick up things like that, but I think she's really, really clear about this in the poem and written very well.
Right, right. Good comment. You all made wonderful comments. I'm sure she would be greatly appreciative. Then we have another needs reader by Dave Muddy. Who would like to take that one on? Wayne?
Any big words?
Wayne?
Any big words?
I need to look at it first to make sure I can read it. I haven't found it yet. Go ahead first. Just jump on the head. This is the booth.
I have put it up on the board. Just see what you think, Wayne. I'm happy to read it.
It's a bit long. It's a bit long for me. Go ahead and read
it. Take a look.
Okay. Righto. Yeah, no, I'll have a go, Linda. This is...
Okay. That's fine.
By Dave, by my fellow Australian, Dave Muddy. Let love have its say, and it goes a bit like this. There is no fish left in the sea, at least one that's designed for me. This is what she cries loudly to me, pleading with me just to let her be. Dark days of misery, having their say, blinding the truth and dismissing its way. The deep joy of life, her feelings deprived, the strength of God's love, keeps her alive. Just a figment of my imagination, it's time to make your introduction. Will Smith, whom she meets at each mission, fills her heart with different visions. The scarlet hue of sunset's grandeur, no match for romance's splendor. Riding in on a bike, a brand new sky, cherished, she no longer wants to die. Love is shared through life's ups and downs, through laughter's dance and heartache's frowns. A precious daughter with a quirky sense, may his love for you be your defense. Union formed through grace, hope begins to thrive. Her fiery temper is now his to survive, always prepared to go through some flack. For heaven knows, I don't want her back. Her heart is now filled with so many words, love now soaring much higher than birds. The nest that they build centered on Christ, into his will, may they be enticed. Each step that they take in his tender care, each burden they face, the Lord will he share. A light in the darkness guiding their way. Love not just is set, but having its fight. End poem.
This is so pretty. And it shows the love you have for her, he had for her, is deep and profound one. This had wonderful imagery and a nice metaphors, and what a great job he did. I like the part that goes, scarlet hue of sunset grandeur, no match for romance's splendor. Riding in on a bike, a brand new sky cherished. She no longer wants to die, a testament to the power of love. Great, right, Dave? And, you know, I like that scarlet hue of sunset grandeur is no match for romance and splendor, because they're both masterpieces of God. But when you see the beautiful sunset, you see God, but you don't relate it to love, you know, and this is like the love is here is so much more important and abounding than the sunset grandeur. So I like that. And I thank you, Dave. You always come through. You're a wonderful poet. And thank you for sharing this, and come back next week. AP.
Yes. Well, it's always helpful on some of these occasions, and I should have done it at the end, was to read the author's note written for my father and bride's speech, shared with my daughter's okay, which is kind of fun. I do like his other comments, not that Will Smith, it's another one who wrote a bike and comes from Australia, so that's kind of nice too. Look, it's terribly hard to write for events that are close to you. I'm not good at it, Dave. You are. And it's sort of captured a wonderful sort of sense of history and how these two people who are now very close to you have got together, and I thought it's great fun.
Great comment, AP. Hatter.
Yeah, you know, what you were saying earlier, people have forgotten to give thanks for being alive. They can't see anything miraculous about life. And I think that's part of the spirituality that we're missing, the generations these days are missing. Just appreciate life. And you don't have to understand why we're here, but accept we're here. And if you ignore the miracle of us even being here, I mean, life itself, you can't just skip over that. You know, sometimes when reflecting, you got to realize what life is, what was before, what will be after is irrelevant. It's just the time that you are here. And to watch a tree grow, to watch your kids grow, the little moments, if you don't appreciate them, you miss you miss life and what it's all about. That's very well done.
Yeah. Very nice comment, Hatter. Wayne.
Yes. This is a poem about the love of a father saying goodbye to a little girl as she's getting married. It's hard to let the young daughter go, but it's also a relief. Like he says, the boy says, "Well, heaven knows I don't want her back. He didn't let his daughter go, but he's got time for her to go, and he went through all the hardship with her, and he's ready for her to be off and off. He misses a whole lot, and he misses his daughter, but she's getting ready to go to get married." So I get out of this.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I thought it was a lovely poem. Thank you, Dave.
Would you have considered this a religious poem?
No, not really.
I wouldn't either.
I mean,
it
mentions Christ, but that doesn't make it religious.
Right. It's just there was a comment on the poem down that mentioned that, and I didn't see it, so I just wanted to ask that question.
Oh.
But it's not a religious area. It's exactly what I was talking about, I think. But I'm not going to mention anything else there. They just get the right to their own faith, their own belief.
Okay.
Hey, Linda.
Yeah.
Well, showers bring Mayflowers, but what do Mayflowers bring?
A lot of pollen.
Pilgrims.
Good question.
Pilgrims.
What does it bring?
Pilgrims. The Mayflower. What do
what a flower is very, right, very cute. Very cute.
Yeah, cute.
So let me see what I got.
How do you make a tissue dance?
How do you make a fish dance?
A tissue, like a Kleenex.
A tissue.
Oh, you put a little boogie in it.
Put a little money in it. I'm doing.
Well,
okay, if you were born legs first, for a small moment, you'd be wearing your mom as a hat.
That's pretty good.
Somebody got that one.
That is hilarious. You know, there's a video of these of an interview. It's English. And there's a female and a guy host, and they're in a set up kitchen, and this chef, a young chef, is they tasting these sauces, and the girl says, you know, it's like I can't remember what she says, but she's comparing it to something else, like a macaroni and cheese dish, You can tell right away that the chef is annoyed by the comment. So he pauses a little bit. He goes, well, if my grandmother had wheels, you'd call it a bike.
Oh.
I will send you that. I will put that up so you can do it. I think it's one of the most funniest things anybody's ever said on live TV because of the way it was set up. Absolutely hilarious. Yeah. Should have done that first.
Okay, let me see.
Tell you, it's gonna take me a second here. Yeah, let's go. Okay.
Why was the snowman looking through the carrots?
What was the question again?
Which one did you want to grab, Linda?
Which next poem? Why don't we do Heavenly Angels?
Is Jay gonna? I was gonna say, because Jay might call in, so let's grab Heavenly Angels poem. So we're just putting that up on the board now. Did you want to read Heavenly Angel?
Yeah, I'll read that one.
Yeah, I posted that
up on the line. And Quicken got the joke as well, by the way, Linda. Hello to Quicken.
Right. Hi, Quicken. I'm glad you're here. Just in time for Heavenly Angels, let it be. Now and then, something melodious and magical can be heard, felt across the universe. Till there was you, I never heard the sweet serenade of hymn, harmonies of life, of love, of friendship. Each time we come together, it's as if a choir of angels break into song. The smell of surrounding sunflowers along the long and winding road of life is enhanced sevenfold. Yesterday's brokenness is forgotten. I'm amazed at the way you love me all the time. Maybe I'm amazed at the way you pulled me out of time. All my loving will be laid upon your table for you to feast upon until you're fully sated. Love me do, my love, always let it be. Just beautiful, just beautiful. And I thought it was a very clever write. The use of the McCartney lyrics made this very special and bold. The way she wove them into the piece was seamless. This was very loving and romantic, and the imagery stood out in full color. She always writes such loving things with such soft edges and inspiring hearts. Thank you very much, Angel. I'm glad you participated in the show. Yeah, this piece was very soft, and the lyrics just was a very special addition to the regular poem. So let me get you some comments. AP, what did you think?
Yeah, look, I'm a big fan of Paul McCartney, and I love his work, and he has been doing it now for, six decades and keeps on coming up with great tunes. And this poem was a combination of those and her thoughts to sort of make it even better. So, I thought it was really cool. Linda?
Tatter. Okay, all those songs that's mentioned, and exclude Yesterday, because that would probably be the what song do you think is the best? Love Me Do, All My Loves, Yesterday's in there, but you have Come Together, So There Was You, and Now and Then. The reason I say that is one of my favorite songs. One of my favorite
Come
songs
Together.
By the Beatles is this one. But mine is Love Me Do, the harmonica. The harmonica in Love Me Do. Just, I get chills every time I hear it. It's just so well done. And you know, when McCartney and Lennon had to split up, when the Beatles split up, because of financial and copyright issues, they had to sit down and split, decide whose song was who, because all of them were collaborations. So they had to sit down and decide who was going to take what song. And I listened to John Lennon's description of that sit down with McCartney, and I've listened to McCartney's interview how it went, and it's pretty how they decided which ones. There were some that Lennon said, "God, I wish I would have grabbed that. So I wish that the song was mine." When in fact it was an equal partnership, but they had to split them up for ownership. Which is a weird process. I don't think many people ever go through that.
Right.
Linda,
we've got a new caller.
We've got a new caller. I think it might be Sweet.
Hello,
720.
Hello, everyone. It is Sweet.
Hello.
Is it?
Hello.
I'm Sweet.
Hi, how is everyone?
We're good. We've been waiting
for
you.
Well.
Yeah, upset.
Oh, well.
Not bad.
On the picture.
Good.
You seem exasperated. What's going on?
Oh, I'm not exasperated. I'm just hanging out, doing nothing.
Wow.
When will we be making up? The show for the other guy?
Give me a call Sunday, and we'll figure all that out.
Sunday? Okay.
Yes. We'll talk Sunday, and we'll figure that out.
I've never been more upset I have a show than that night.
Why? Yes,
did you have a chance to hear Heavenly? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I did not. I did not.
Okay. Not a problem. Did you bring a piece?
I did.
You did?
Cool.
Of course
wonderful,
I did.
Wonderful. Can we put it up on the board?
I certainly can. I can do that.
You're
for you.
You're terrific.
All right. Let's go right into that. All right. Let me see. I'm on my phone, so it might take me a half a second to do that.
We haven't finished commenting on Heavenly Angels yet.
Okay,
so.
That's fine.
Hatter, did you finish commenting?
Yes. Let me do.
Okay, then Wayne. We need Wayne to comment.
Yes. First of all, Hatter, you remember when they broke up with John and put that song out? He said, "The only thing you did was Yesterday." John Lennon kind of said with a spin of a Rick and Mad Paul McCartney. He said the song said the only thing you did was Yesterday. He said he wrote the rest of the song, but he was kind of pissed off. He was dropping the song titles. He made a lovely poem out of them. I wouldn't know it was a montage if I hadn't seen that in. And she's the same contest, I'm in the same contest, and that's the poem I brought tonight too. So it's a poem where you take a. So take an artist with a name starting with an M, and then you make a montage out of the songs. You pick up the person you want. He picked McCartney. I picked the Marsh Tucker Band, but we'll see him on later on. She did a good job with this.
Did you know that, you know, Michael Jackson at one time owned the songs of the Beatles, their catalog.
Right.
Yeah,
I knew that.
They call it.
Yeah, I knew he did.
But do you know when McCartney found that out, he called Michael for that reason, and Michael didn't call him back for quite a while. Then McCartney tried again and talked to him and bought the songs back. He said he just told Michael that it would just be right that Lennon was gone, that it should be owned by a Beatle. I thought that was great.
I was shocked though, kind of, he owned them. That's kind of strange that Michael Jackson owned Beatles songs.
Yeah, can you imagine? Could you imagine owning all the Beatles stuff? That would be like overwhelming.
It's just like a name. You don't financially gain anything from owning them. That's when, being that the time has passed for copyright infringement, that kind of thing. So it's not a financial thing to own the song. It's just.
I was shocked that Michael Jackson owned all the Beatles songs, and he also married Elvis Presley's daughter. So he had all the music wrapped up in one little house. So it looks like me.
Yeah, he rightfully gave him back to McCartney, though. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Well, you guys. So we have Sweet here, and she brought a piece. Fragmented pale lines of a six-page carbon paper document. Very cool title. And you're up
all
anytime
right.
you're ready,
okay.
Sweetheart.
All right, I am ready. So here we go. Fragmented pale line of a third-page carbon paper document. If I let my pen cry on a page today, then maybe I believe I can stay and not run away from the malicious debates being held in the courts of my self-consciousness. As I feel myself fading into the fragmented pale lines of a third-page carbon paper document left unattended, unworthy, not considered real evidence but a useless copy of the original. My flesh is jaundiced and my lips are dry and drawn. Death comes not with a sickle in the darkness, but when the sun catches hope's fire in a beautiful dawn. New days begin and yesterdays are gone. Oh, how I wish I could live in the bones of hope, to believe in tomorrows and new beginnings. But I know myself. I'm not front page news. I lay alone in my file drawer coffin, fading away, page 3 of a carbon copy document, understanding no one will ever want me. And poem.
Aww. That's a sweet piece, but kind of sad. Yeah, it's so well written. You chose your words and metaphors quite nicely. And I'm just, you know, I'm kind of saddened by the last verse, but I know myself, I'm not front page news. I lay alone in the file drawer coffin fading away, page 3 of a carbon copy document, understanding no one will ever want me. Aw, we will want you, sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is kind of like a defiant kind of piece where you're feeling down on yourself and the metaphor of being a carbon copy paper document is a fantastic, fantastic metaphor you've come up with, and it just fits so right on and into the piece. But
I think
this was really well written. Amazingly written. So let me get you some more comments. Wayne.
Yes. We greatly underestimate yourself, Eric Treat. You're just getting started. But everyone has doubts that they're getting themselves as they age a little bit. You're an original, and you'll never be a carbon copy. You're always the number one on my front page. Good job.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. And Hatter.
But, you know, there's a little thing in here. I don't know if anybody else caught it, but I think it's pretty funny, and I hope the author did. But he talks about living in the, okay, how I wish I could live in the bones of hope to believe that tomorrow's the new beginning. In the bones of hope. So she's looking for tomorrow, or the marrow and bone. The marrow. Not buddy, huh?
Tomorrow.
Like bone marrow.
Right.
Living in the bone.
In the bone.
Living in the bone. Tomorrow. Okay. Be quiet.
Very good.
That's awesome.
No, that was good.
Uh-huh.
I liked it. So next is AP. What did you think, AP?
Well, I thought it was a different voice. I mean, you're right. I'm used to Swiss P coming up with the very forward sort of, you know, action orientated, take somebody's head off and throw it up their navel type writing. And this was far from that. This was a soppo sort of ending, which is interesting, and a sort of passive ending, which was interesting as well. But I do note, you know, the poem itself said that, you know, that you're not front page news. Well, I reckon you got almost 100 front pages on the site. You're pretty close to front page news, but that's just...
thank you, but, you know, it's been a rough couple months with a lot of things, and I found a lot of three-page documents.
I get it. Just saying those.
Yes,
things.
I know. Thank you, guys.
You guys are too much. Wayne, we don't have any SoundClouds. We only had one SoundCloud that came through. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm so sorry. Deborah tried all afternoon long to get them to work, and she could only get one through. But you're still welcome to read your piece. Would you like to do that? Or do you want to wait till next week and see if we can get it on SoundCloud?
Well, let me look it over and see if I can read it or not. I've been a while for the road. Let me look it over. I'll catch you in a minute.
Hey, I'm happy to read it, too, if you want, Wayne.
What's happening? Okay.
Don't know.
What's for?
Something strange.
Okay. That was mine.
It's okay. It stopped, whatever it was. Linda?
Yeah, I got it to stop. Okay, so
I could read it. I reckon it's a montage of Morris Tucker Band songs, and so I probably could read it. And it's got 30 of the songs in this one.
Yeah,
it's got 30 of the poems in this song. In this one, 30 titles. This one poem, I think it's 30 song titles in this. And it's has anybody got a copy of it? But I need you back.
Is that right?
That's it. Yes.
I need you back.
It's up on the board.
It's got 30 titles.
Oh, it's Marshall.
I need you back. It's by Marshall Tucker Band. It goes like this.
Yeah.
I would walk the dangerous roads under the desert skies just to see you one more time and look into your eyes. This time I believe the time has come to keep holding on to you. Tired of walking the streets alone without you. There's nothing to do. I'm still holding on, but there's something missing in my life. Can't you see, if I could only have my way, you'd be my wife. I may be asking too much of you to try one more time to start a new life, maybe through streaming, there's no crime. You're a special someone. and I'll never find you. I'll never find another you. I know in my eyes it takes time for the love I give you to grow. Tonight's tonight to hear you say you love me. You love me and save my soul. I'm bound and determined to keep my love alive to show. I'm too stubborn in my low down ways to set you free. Never again will I be losing you because you ain't through to me. Tell me how I can slow down. Love will not let me roam. Why am I crying? I'm heartbroken. Please let me come home. Ian?
Aw. That was so sweet. Gosh, Wayne, you write lovely, lovely love poems. This is amazing.
Must stuck it me up.
Yeah, it's, I'm amazed. I've never heard you write a love poem like this. Usually you've got that funny in there or that wickedness in there, but this is beautiful. And it shows mm-hmm. how deep love can be. And you've shown that here. I mean, this time I believe the time has come to keep holding on to you. Tired of walking the streets alone, without you, with nothing to do. It shows that, you know, some of us, when we're in love, there is nothing else in the world except the other one. There's no outside. There's a bubble of you and your mate. And you have written a perfect example of the bubble here. I like how you say you're a special someone and I'll never find another you. I know. In my eyes, it takes time for the love I gave you to grow. Tonight's the night to hear you say you love me and save my soul. I'm bound and determined in keeping our love alive to show. You just have a love that's just like grown into you. You've grown together. But anyway, let me give you some more comments instead of me babbling. Sweet, would you like to comment on Wayne's beautiful poem?
Thanks, Linda.
Of course I would. It's Wayne.
You're welcome.
I mean, how do you not just love Wayne? You know, Wayne, first off, I love all the things that you have in here. See you one more time, into your eyes, the time I believe. So your songs are wonderful, but it's also very hard to take those and make any time you use things like that and make them into something that's cohesive and a story and all that. So congratulations on that. I think that's pretty amazing.
Thank you very much.
So I love a lot of these lines, like, tell me how I can slow down. Love will not let me roam. Why am I crying? I'm hard. Please let me come home. So I love the last stanza. You go through this whole story of heartbreak, but there's still that hope. Like, can you just tell me how to do it? Let me, you know, I want to come home. Bring me home. So that's just that heartbreaking little bit of hope that no matter what, you're going to love me and you're like going to let me come home. And again, the amount of songs and everything, it's just amazing that you put a great, coherent, cohesive poem in there and you have a great story, because that's a lot of talent to do that. Very well done.
Mm-hmm. While we're here, let me welcome 727 to the room. Who's calling 727?
This is Masterpiece. Tori is Masterpiece Williams.
Masterpiece. How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm great. I'm sorry I joined so late. I'll probably miss a lot of
that's
content.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just
heard the last comment. You know, thanks to all the poets that are here right now. It's rare. And this is a great platform, and I appreciate you offering an opportunity for, like, all
sure.
of us here. Yeah.
Well, I read some
of
your stuff, and I was like, wow, we need this guy on the show. So here you are. We're just getting some comments Sweet's poem. Or was that Wayne's poem? I'm sorry.
That's Wayne.
AP, what did you think, AP?
Yeah, I really liked it. I follow Sweet's lead on this. You know, you can have a poem with always the song titles, and it can be just that. It can read. There's a whole heap of song titles. You've actually knitted this together really nicely and come up with a story and made it meaningful. And, I think you've done a great job on it, Wayne.
Thank you very much, AP. Sweet.
All right. Hatter.
Yeah, you can't mention Marshall Tucker without one of the greatest opening lines of any song ever. The devil went down to Georgia looking for his soul to steal. That's all I could hear, Marshall Tucker. But thank you, Wayne, for that.
Right on.
And I'm not familiar with the song that you transcribed here, but good job.
Yeah, Can't You See was his favorite song, I thought. It was Can't You See. I think Devil Down to Georgia was by Charlie Daniels Band, if I'm mistaken, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, if that isn't a hook line, if you're reading, I don't know what else is. Yeah, I'll tell you.
Thank
right
you,
on.
Andrew.
Well, I put on the board next AP, but now I notice that AP has switched up on me, but we'll go ahead and...
I have,
and
yeah.
Are you ready, AP?
I've been talking in the background. No, I've been talking in the background, Linda, to Old Town Gospel, and he's listening in, so I thought I might read his poem now.
Okay.
Okie doke. So this is Inside a Cage by Old Town Gospel. It goes a little bit like this. Inside a cage, I can love you when I sleep because I am a beast. And some things they should not be. I tell you when I wake, I want to be free because there is no beast when you're looking at me. I walk these streets at night pretending they're not my bed. I will not hide myself from all the blood I've shed. I still look in awe when I bleed blue instead of red. For I am a zombie, but to me you are the good. Here's the truth. Behind every little lie, you can run, but some of us can never hide. I know it's not much, but all I can say is we can watch the stars until they all fall away. I don't know tomorrow, and I don't know today. I just know I crawl on my belly, and on my belly I should stay. Inside a cage, I can love you when I sleep because I'm a beast, and some things they should not be. I tell you when I wake that I want to be free because there is no beast when you're looking at me. Remember the children, yeah, all those little fakes, running in the grass like they had food on their plates. It's hard to fight nature when you know you're a force of it. It's been a long road, but I still don't give an inch. I'm sorry, Father, but your son is not here. He fell from heaven, though he did not disappear. Now he looks into our eyes and says, it save us. And he burns away our bodies and says, you've replaced us. So now we hide upon covers and you cover up the pain. We hide beneath our sheets and you hide beneath the shame. You hide above the clouds for the rain we shall blame. Tell me that you love me as the light begins to drain. I know you said forever, but what about today? If I had a second chance to be free from the pain, I would say I would, but a liar. I remain. Inside a cage, I can love you when I sleep because I'm a beast and some things they should not be. I tell you when I'm awake that I want to be free because there is no beast when you're looking at me. I'm so sorry that I let go. I got sick from antidote. It was a picture of happy home, a picture I've never known. I'm so sorry that I let go. I got sick from antidote. It was a pleasure of a happy home, a picture I've never known. Inside a cage, I can love you when I sleep because I'm a beast and some things they should not be. I tell you when I wake, though, I want to be free, because there is no beast when you're looking at me. End point.
Wow. My goodness.
Yeah, that was so much in there. Whoa.
Yeah. This guy is, like, awesome. It's such a sad poem, but in the end, it's got that hope in there. Let's see what it says. Because there is no beast when you're looking at me. you got to finally realize that in the end that you're okay. Being in that cage, looking out at the person that it is your caretaker or whatever, you've got to. You kind of have to believe that you're okay and nothing's going to happen. But the duality in this is amazing. He wants to be free, but he knows he's safe in the cage. He knows that. That there won't be a problem with anyone while he's in the cage, but when he comes out, he doesn't know for sure what's to be. So let me get some more comments.
Stop it.
Wow, I mean,
sorry, my apologies.
This is from Masterpiece Williams, man. There was so much in there, man. Like, I mean, the feeling of that poem was just like it hits home, because I write a lot like you from the heart. Everything that you said, even though it was a sad poem, it was great. I mean, hey, great job, poet.
Right on. Wayne.
Yes, sir. There's a lot of emotion and pain in this poem. I think it's talking about the loss of a child, and when you lose a child, your whole life changes. And I hope there's a time when he can return to the way he used to be, but it's gonna take time. I love the poem, the metaphors in this, and his honesty. Great job with this poem. You're touching.
Great. I'm AP.
Yeah, really, really strong writing, Linda. I love the chorus type, songwriting type style of the poem. And it really had great rhythm and cohesion and was a joy to read.
Right on. Hatter.
This is one of the best poems I've read in a long time. This is so good, the way he structured this. The repeating lines are perfectly positioned. I think there's a part in here that really caught me. It's so now we hide under covers and cover up pain. We hide beneath our sheets and you hide beneath the shame. You hide above the clouds for the rain we shall blame. Tell me that you love me, the life begins to drain. I know you said forever, but what about today? Wow.
Yeah, amazing words in this one.
It went on a list at my house. It went on a list.
Right on. I'm sure he'd be very appreciative of that. Very cool. Let's see. Okay, I think that. Oh, Sweet. I'm sorry. Sweet hasn't commented yet.
Yes, Sweet has not commented about this yet. This is a derivative of fear, feeling, and love. It's a dichotomy of someone who's in so much pain and feels like, they're going to be in this cage forever. And yet, when they're awake, they can see something that makes them, they're not going to be a beast as long as there's somebody there that they can rely on and trust. There's so many fabulous lines in this piece of work. Like, I'll walk these streets at night pretending they're not my bed. I will not hide myself for all the blood I've shed. I mean, this is just great. We can watch the stars until they fall away. I don't know tomorrow, but I don't know today. Now I crawl on my belly, and on my belly I shall stay. It's this absolute hopelessness that he weaves through there, but then in his chorus, there's always that, because there is no bass when you're looking at me. So he has this despair, but every ending he has this hope, just because there's this love. So there's a lot of despair and anxiousness, but then there's this beautiful piece of love. So I really love the dichotomy that he presents in all of his hurt and pain with that little bit of hope of love.
Wow, extremely beautiful comment, sweet. I think that's it. And next we have APF, and then I'll go. And Hatter, if you bring your piece, we'll get you up there.
Okay. I'll be right back.
So.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
One, Linda. This is the competition that recently closed, which was the competition we have been sponsoring at the Theme of Voices. This is where you take an image from the painters from the Winter Park Festival and you write a piece to that. This is my piece for the competition at Indigo Bound, reflecting the work Sunrise at Indigo Park by Patricia DeMonsky, and it goes a bit like this. Variegated leaves are pining upon dark as the sun slowly gathers towards sea, revealing the casual ripples within bark of limbs searching, ever seeking to flee. Turquoise soon replaces indigo bound toward distant ocean's navy to leave. Sunrise releases those shadows found, clouds gather to witness above sweep. Waves fumbling as lap towards shore, progress becalmed by a shallow reef, while on the sands, shells lay by score, millions of small creatures lie beneath. Seabirds rise loud in chorus together, from nests they bear witness to dawn. Mauve and purple tones upon feather, wings are ready to fly towards dawn. End poem.
Oh, thank you. This is beautiful. You capture a new beginning at the beach so well, the sunrise. Your colors abound and make this tapestry of this poem pop. The movement that fills the page was quite lovely, making the imagery sing notes of color. This is a ballet of ocean dance and couldn't be more beautiful. I just wanted to dip my toes into the water and whistle a tune. Very beautiful, AP. Let me get you some more comments. You're welcome. Let's see, Wayne.
Yeah, you did a great job with this poem. It's perfectly balanced, as it usually is. Great rhyme to it, and you read it smooth. Was the picture one of them that you painted? It's similar to the picture you had painted. Did you paint that picture there? Or is that one?
Was the picture that was entered in the competition, Wayne. I didn't paint that one. I would have loved to, but no, I didn't paint that
Okay. You did a good job. Talking about the picture. Talk about the picture and great read, and I enjoyed the poem a whole lot. Good job.
Thank you.
I was wondering that too. That does look like something that AP would paint.
It is
very cool.
Yeah, it is something I would paint. Yeah, absolutely.
Sweet. What did you think about the poem?
Oh well. Let's see. I've already commented.
Just read
on
your
the
comments,
poem.
Please. That's all.
Okay, I will, AP. AP, your artistic eye explodes in a colorful phaseology. I felt a tinge of the classic poet Thoreau's transcendentalism period rub elbows with your vivid imagery and composed metaphors. I found my own sense of serenity and enjoyment. The flow and movement of your poem was like enjoying a morning coffee while basking in the glow of a single sunbeam. Well done, sir.
Thank you
very
much. Pleasure.
Very nice. Masterpiece. What did you think of the poem?
I'm lost for words. Like,
I hear you guys talking and like how you like recite the verses from other poems. I hear the words and I just, it's just heartfelt, you know. I just choose not to, like, I just say great job, poet. Like, great job, poet. Like, heartfelt, dedicated to the cause, and I just try to keep it simple.
Thank you.
Very cool. Heather.
Yeah, it's a not typical AP Taylor. What was the part? I wanted to ask you a question, AP. These color word banks, these colored word banks, do you find that it helps you in writing, not normally, but writing your on your own, being training your mind to use colors? Do you find it helpful?
Yeah.
More?
Yeah, look, I think what Deb's done, Patter, is that with the word banks and with the challenges she set us on colours and challenges she set us through the pictures and images, is she's got us using a lot more colour holistically, certainly me, and so I just find colour a wonderful way to express, you know, images and express emotions compared to other things.
Yeah, I think it's a great exercise. She's having us all through the her series. Very good.
Yeah, no, thanks.
Masterpiece says the way I just say the way that you line it up is brilliant. Like, you align it the way that it should be written.
Yeah.
That's a habit, but thank you.
I would like to note that this is a contest that he is in that has over 100 poems in it, or like very close to 100 poems in it, and I am lucky to be a judge in that contest. And there are so many beautiful poems in this contest, and the use of color and the way it's displayed is just fabulous. And my comment says what I felt about this poem, and he knows that. But I appreciate everybody else feeling that way, too. You just did a fabulous job on this, AP. And good luck with the rest of the judges.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Right on. Okay, I think mine's up next.
I reckon you're right. It's there.
I am the king. Here we go. I am the king. That's just how it goes. And if you're smart, you should probably know. I rule the Sahara. I do it quite well. 'Cause I am the king, the big cat from hell. No worries I have, 'cause I am the king. I usually don't worry about anything. Then man came along with a loaded gun. I thought to myself, this couldn't be fun. He followed my pride but didn't see me. I snuck in the bushes so he couldn't see. He aimed his big gun and he shot, but he missed it. I'm glad he didn't shoot at my dear lion missus. Now I'm not happy, not happy at all. I know that his mission is to make one of us fall. So I watched him and realized he looked yummy. I'd like nothing more than getting him in my tummy. I pounced and I ate him, and so that is that. I ate his gun too, and also his hat. Now in the tree is where I do lurk. I'm taking a nap after eating the jerk. And that's my thin poem. That's
kind of
what?
Beat him up. Sweet, did you want to say a few words first?
I love how much I love your poems. You know how much I love to just, you know, go into my Murphy account and enjoy that. And that's that. And that's another Murphy poem. And we'll just enjoy that together. So
right on.
That's a Murphy.
That's what I like to
Murphyism.
Hear.
Loved it.
Cool. Right on.
Okay. Thank you, Sweet. And Masterpiece, did you want to say a few words about Linda's poem?
The gun and the hat, both of them. There's no more Elmer Fudd.
brilliant.
It tickled me something pretty, like, really. Like, I mean, I'm in a good way, so hey, kudos, poet. Great job.
That's what I like to hear.
Thank you. Beautifully done. Hatter, what did you think?
I'm hunting the rabbits. Yeah, I'm a friend. It had a little twist I wasn't expecting in it, but it did bring up a couple of visuals. I think it was five marauding lions that had band together, and they were going up down the area of Africa that they lived in. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
But they were killing all the alpha lions from the tribes. It became worrisome the thing they were doing. They ended up doing their damage and then dying themselves. But to have five marauding lions, all male, banding together, having each other's back, it was a scary-ass thing. They've never seen that before. The intelligence of lions against men, because to me that sounded like they're hunting man. This is payback. No worries I have, because I am the king. I usually don't worry about anything. Into a man with a loaded gun. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. Good job.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Excellent. And Wayne, did you want to finish off with a comment about the space from liquid damage? Hello, Wayne.
I think we dropped Wayne.
We might have. Wayne, but we do have another caller who's come in with
yes,
triple one. Is that you, Rack?
This is Miss Jay.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Miss
Jay. It's a miracle.
Well done.
You made it.
I did.
Yes, welcome.
No, I haven't been home. I was at the doctor's all day. That's why I'm late. I'm sorry.
Oh. I'm sorry you were at the doctor's.
Oh, well.
Are you okay?
So are they.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
nothing serious.
Well, that's good news. Now, Linda, did you want to do Hatter's poem next?
Yes, we'll do Hatter's and Masterpiece and Jay.
Yes, perfect. So we'll do it in that order, yeah. Hatter, did you want to read the poem for us? Question.
Yeah, I can read this one because I printed it to know my heart, so my eyes won't matter. I'll read this one. Thanks.
Brilliant.
I started as an altar boy. That's a true statement. I was an altar boy for a long time. It goes like this. I started as an altar boy in a house of Christian faith by learning the writings of my Lord that filled me with his grace. One day I was to serve a mass. I thought everything was fine, busted by Father Horgan sipping sacramental wine. I think he mentioned it to all the others, and for sure he told the nuns. It made me feel a little bad sticking out their holy tongues. They made me change into a robe of my patron saint. I had to polish all the glass and touch up all the paint. I thought that God might not be in. I hope he had better things to do. I'm sorry for what has come because I told him it was you. So if you get to go to heaven, don't worry, I'll be fine. I never made it past the gate, but I get to hold the sign.
Wow. That's perfect. Perfect. You are so funny, Hatter. But this is a beautiful poem. I mean, it really talks about being an altar boy. And my ex was an altar boy, too, and I heard stories. But you really got the essence of it in the speech.
I never drank the sacramental wine. You know, I was made up, so I didn't care.
Yeah, that's the made up part. That's okay.
Yeah,
AP, what did you think?
This is nice. This is an older patter, right? And one that really sets up the last line to get the laugh, which you got, patter. And I think it's kind of fun because you don't sort of see that line coming, and that's why it hits home beautifully. And a great example of one of your earlier works.
Thank you, Steve.
Very nice.
Yeah, it was all based on that last line.
Yeah,
we lost you too. Masterpiece, what did you think?
Brilliant. Brilliant. Short, sweet, brilliant. Brilliant. I love those. Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you.
Kudos.
All right. We lost Sweden and Wayne. So, Jay, what did you think?
I just love the way it danced along. I mean, and the last line is just didn't make it through the gate. You know, thank goodness.
I'm okay.
Right on.
Yeah, sort of like the hot dog guy that sits out there in a hot suit in August in front of the restaurant in some costume.
Yeah. Perfect. You are so funny, Hatter. Okay, let's see. Masterpiece. Did you get that piece?
Yeah,
it should be on there.
Yeah, like I'm extremely nervous. I've never really read my stuff to people.
Yeah, well, just relax.
It's a phone call.
I'm gonna give it a whirl. It's called extensions. So.
Okay, let's get it on the board first.
All right. Here we go.
It is on the board. It's on the board.
All right.
Is it on the board?
Yes.
People ask if writing becomes difficult at times. I say not really, because there's always a message in these rhymes. Why don't you write about unicorns and vivid images? If I choose to write about things that make you question your feelings, I don't write poems for shock value or oohs and ahs, just for you to understand what's on my heart. If you request it, I'll do my best at it. And at the end of the day, it's facts. Take it. Writing can never become hard for me. Too much ammo. The world we live in already gives me more than I can handle. My vision is starting to ascend. And just a year ago, I didn't know where to begin. I'm not here to preach at anyone or place blame anywhere. It's just hard to figure out. My people don't care. I have a life of happiness, yet at times I'm sad. New friends telling me to leave the old ones in the past. It's only right that I use God's gift to me to express love and hope. because it's only by his mercy and grace that I've been able to cope. In this poem, I'll keep it simple and plain. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the same old thing. So day in and day out, I do my best to help with improvement, and I hope everyone will support my extended hand movement.
Wow. That was awesome. This is a really special piece because it hit my heart. I've written a piece about what to write to, and you've got to get to that point. There's an endless plethora of things to write about. There's so much material in this world that all we have to do is get on it. This piece was honest and non-judgmental, and it made me think of being kind and gentle. And yes, you're right. There's always something to write about. There's plenty of material to fill a page or two. Your piece here is an extraordinary tribute to all writers and gives inspiration to us all. I thank you very much, Masterpiece, for joining us tonight. And maybe you'll join us again next week. But this piece was really, really beautiful. Thank you. And you did a really great job reading it.
I was kind of nervous. I know you hear it, like, but next week, I'm gonna come with something that's really like, I'm just trying to change the dynamic of what we write about, you know.
Right.
It's just so much.
Yeah. The next piece.
Well, you did a beautiful job.
Thank you.
Jay,
thank you for it.
Jay, would you like to comment?
Oh, definitely. First of all, you must come back. That is just lovely. It's beautiful. I love what you say about your extended hand because I can see it. I can visualize it, and it gives expression to what you're trying to say. If I were to look at your aura, I would see you standing there with both your arms open. That's the feeling I get from this poem. Not to preach, not to place blame, and to give people hope and faith and to show that it works by testifying yourself that it does work. That's a gift, and I hope you do come back. By the way, you have a lovely baritone voice. Very nice to listen to you.
Thank you for it. Thank you for it.
Uh-oh. No, she's right. You have a great reading voice, so keep that in your back pocket, too. Hatter.
Unmuted. The part where you said, I'm tired of the same old thing. To find your own road to travel and be able to express it and still follow certain guidelines of faith is remarkable. Also, the self-reflection poems, when you immediately put yourself out there, can be questioned, even by yourself, can be the most relatable to other poets. This is a perfect example. This is well done.
Thank you for it. Thank you very much for it.
Well,
thank you.
Beautiful.
AP.
Well, it's very nice to have another baritone voice reading poems, I have to say. That doesn't mean that I'm out there on my own, so thank you. Well, very well done. And you didn't rush it, which is great, because they're reading their own poetry, as they get a bit nervous and they start hurrying through, and you didn't do that. I don't think you did that because, you know, this was a very meaningful poem to you. This is a statement of who you are and who you're going to be and what you're going to put out there into the world. And for that, you know, it's like you're standing out there naked without clothes. You're basically saying, this is the way I'm going to go about things. And I think there's a bravery in that, and I thought it was a great poem.
Thank you so much for it. Thank you so much for it. Thank you so much.
Right.
The piece means something to me because It says, people ask if writing becomes difficult. Sometimes, no. No. So much, no. In my mind, there's just so much. So, no. I'm sorry.
Cool. No, we all go through that. We all go through that. When the juices are flowing perfectly, everything's right, your mind's in the right place, and it just, you like your best stuff. Yeah. And you don't get nervous at all. And like AP said, most people rush through the first time on the air, and you didn't. It didn't sound like you're very comfortable.
Yeah.
And when I grow up, I'd like to have a voice like yours, too, yeah.
Next week when I come back, I'll be a lot more clear with my like reading it. So
you'll be a pro.
Y'all can enjoy my baritone voice, but I get inspiration from drinking a glass of water. So
okay, Miss J, what did you bring us?
I brought you a poem that's not a comedy. This isn't a funny one this time.
Okay, let's get it up on the board first.
I'm not surrendering my title, mind you. I'm just bringing a different poem.
Paul, did you want to put it right on the board then?
Let's see, where is it? I'll let you guys play with the technicalities. I'm not very good at that.
You know, no, that's okay. Are you reading the spaceship?
Yes, I am.
Today? Oh, perfect. Okay, brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah, there is.
And it is on the board now.
Bingo. Okay.
Everybody got it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All righty,
here we go.
This is called The Spaceship. I saw a spaceship land today, she whispered in her husband's ear. It wasn't very far away, yet there it was, as clear as day. Two giants stepped out in uniform, and unbelievably, if you had been there, you'd have sworn they looked like you or me. They called and waved with all their might. I'm so ashamed, I ran. You must go back with me tonight and find them if we can. They pointed to that little star. Could that be where they're from? Imagine how advanced they are. Look how far they've come. For heaven's sakes, what nonsense. Clarice, you had a dream. I'll prove to you it makes no sense. It's not the way it seemed. Come back to bed, my sweet, he said. Your nightmare's safe with me. We mustn't tell another soul. They'll throw away the key. We'll speak no more of this tonight. As for that star, my dear, no life exists where war persists. The Earth's been dead for years.
Whoa.
Wow. Jay, this is such a remarkable piece, showing the immense love between a husband and wife first. I love how he treats her in the end, keeping her safe and reassuring her that it was just a dream. But in the same time, not believing that what she saw could have been real. But, you know, I suffer from nightmares, at least I did up until a few weeks ago, and my husband was always there for me, telling me everything was all right, it's just a dream, and no matter how real they were, he could bring me home. And the surprise ending really got me. The star of Earth, did I get that right?
Yes.
But, yeah, this is a beautiful piece. I really loved it. Let me get you some more comments. AP.
Yeah, isn't it fun? That last line's a killer. And it's interesting because apparently they surveyed all of the nuclear physicists in the world, and they all believe that aliens exist. It's just a matter of time before we see them. And frankly,
the tense and tone of the last line reminds me of Monty Python and the Universe song. And the Universe song says something along the lines of, there'd better be intelligent life somewhere else because there's bugger all here down on Earth. And I think that encapsulates the whole sense of in common.
Right on.
Spooky.
Tatter.
Yeah, that last line really threw me for a loop. So this is life on another planet. We knew about Earth, and because of war, we didn't have a chance. They never made contact or something like that.
That's it.
Mentioned heaven. Okay, cool. Because they mentioned heaven, for heaven's sake. Well done. The way, that last line put everything before in a different perspective. Very good.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What did you say? Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, the staggering of like everything was like the way you put it together was like absolutely astonishing, and I think I've just left you a comment that said absolutely astonishing.
Oh my, thank you.
Because like I don't know, you didn't bring comedy, but you brought fire. And that's enough in my book.
Yeah.
So kudos.
Oh, but
you
should hear this lady write comedy.
I know. I haven't heard it.
It'll blow you away. She's so funny.
I'm definitely going to be looking you up right now so I can read some of your stuff. And I'll definitely comment. So
yeah.
You'll
kudos.
Do your
great
penance,
job,
right?
Great job. Great job.
Right. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Great job.
Cool. Okay, let's see. Who have we forgotten so far? We got Randa and Ethan. Oh, we got...
Yeah. And Jared Green. And then we've got Quicken. Yeah, so we've got four, I think.
Oh, we didn't do Quicken yet. Well, let's do Quicken SoundCloud.
No. Okay, let's do that. Since we were able to get one to load in a period of a ridiculous amount of time, and it was quickened. So I'm just putting that up on the board now. And did you want me to hit the go button, or are you going to do that?
I got it.
Linda?
I got the
you
button.
Got it? Okay, we're away.
Here we go.
Space between
excellent.
I and
we. Excellent. You've got the button. You've got the power.
In the intricate interplay of promo, where I blend into we, and we dissolves into us, I find myself standing alone. A conundrum wrapped in the web of solidarity.
There we go.
The language around me promises a collective sanctuary. Yet, within its clutches, I remain distinctly singular.
No man is an island.
But aren't we all surrounded by sea? Why then do I feel isolated in the sea of plurality? Words spin a narrative of connection, a story where individualities merge seamlessly into a collective journey. But the story unravels at the edges. The chorus fails to echo my voice. This connection, fragile and fleeting, slips through my fingers like a sunset. Fading into the night.
This too shall pass.
What if it lingers? My loneliness stems not from a lack of company, but from the spaces within that remain empty, echoing with the solo of an eye that finds no harmony in we. In the domain of us, my voice seeks its reflection. Longing for a resonance that grasps not just the syntax of togetherness, but the poetry that animates each soul uniquely.
Alone, I sing. Together, we soar.
Yet, do we ever truly fly? if I is part of we, and we belong to us, then my solitude is a paradox, a silent cry amidst a concert of voices, a quiet rebellion against the illusion of unity. My solitude isn't shaped by the absence of others, by the pursuit of an us that can truly understand the depth of an I. Here, in the stillness, I seek not merely companionship, but communion.
Together we stand, divided we fall.
If that's true, then who hears us when we whisper?
Hello, Linda.
Yeah, it's over? Oh, I kept hearing something.
Yes.
Huh.
Yes, not.
Excellent narration of this masterfully written piece of art. You are a tremendous writer, Quicken, and this piece shows the amount of talent you have. And you're not merely a writer, but a true poet down to the bone. I tell you, I know I've read a good poem when I have to read it more than once. And this was an intellectual treasure trove of distinctive thought. I want to thank you for sharing your unique style with us tonight. You blew my socks off. Keep up the beautiful work, my friend, and please come back again. Again, some more. We'll call it Masterpiece. Would you like to go first?
I mean, very well. Everything was put together very well. But what really captured my attention were the whispers.
Yeah.
No man is an island, but aren't we all surrounded by thieves? This too shall pass.
Right.
What if it lingers? Name. What is that? Alone I sing, together we soar. We do. I'm going blind. I'm sorry, but I mean, like just the whispers. I love the body of it, everything, like the presentation, but the whispers linger. This too shall pass.
Right.
what if it lingers? kudos for it. Great job. Hey, keep up the good work, man. Wow.
Yeah, Masterpiece, this is the guy that'll blow you away. He's just spot on every time. Right on. So let's see. AP.
Yeah, it's a really interesting poem, and I just to build on what Master said, I like how there's a story and then there's like a commentary about that runs through the poem with the whispers, and to the end where it says, you know, who hears us when we whisper. And so there's a piece of poetry that's going on here and a piece of philosophy that's going on here too. And that's a very clever sort of intertwined little beastie that we've just heard.
Cool. Chatter.
Yeah, I agree with AP. Very well done, and it's a self-describing piece. I think that's what stands out. I think that's what you're trying to say, AP, was the how it pauses in its story, not in, in its substance to reflect back on themselves. I don't say that very poorly, but yeah, I noticed it too. It's very well done. A lot of thought went into this.
Yeah.
The whispers match the verse that he said. So
So I mean that it's tough to put that type of thing together, man. Kudos, bro. Like, oh god.
Yeah.
I wanna collab with you at one point, at some point.
Put the words out of
there. Hey guys. Yeah. You should have been quick.
Masterpiece, man.
Okay.
Hey.
Jay, what did you say?
This gives me a wonderful feeling that he's realizing that he's talking to himself. We all have a second voice, okay? And especially when we're dealing with ethereal dreams and wishes and hopes, we have this reality that talks to us in whispers and says, well, now, wait a minute. Can you really fly? Do we ever really fly? And it's questioning what he's feeling, but what he's feeling is so real that we've all felt both sides. So it's a yin and yang, and he's actually questioning himself every time he says something. He goes back and says, but wait a minute. I think it's great. I think it's, and it's very true to the way we actually are, but we don't realize it. A lot of us don't realize that we're second-guessing ourselves, but we do it. So it's very, you've captured that essence very well, and that's something very few people see in themselves. I love it.
Agreed.
I think it's wonderful.
Agreed, Port. We do it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do it all the time.
So, Quicken, you got some lovely comments here. I'm sure you're very appreciative. So let's give a clap and... Let me see. Wait a minute. I got something here. Oh, here we go. Okay.
That's two poems in one.
Yeah, poor battery dropped. Aww.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's just us guys. And we have a poem from Ethan. Did you get that?
Yes.
Ethan?
Hatter's just come back.
Hi, Hatter.
2 seconds.
Well, I don't know what happened. You guys went away.
No, I don't have no idea.
I got to back in.
I was all alone.
You want to say the next?
What's that?
I got to chime back in on that last form.
I can't hear you. Hang on.
Okay.
Say that again.
I have to chime back in on that last form. This is my speech. That last form was brilliant.
Right.
Yeah. Dude, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
All right.
Linda, I've got the poem by Ethan Smith on the board. I think that's where you wanted to go next.
Right. And
yeah.
Maybe we get our baritone to read that masterpiece. Would you like to read a poem?
Sure.
If he's happy to. Yeah.
I'd love to. I mean, maybe able to give me some experience so I could get all of the butterflies out that I have when I read my poem. So
you take a deep breath.
Am I reading Painted Rocks?
Slowly.
Am I reading
Painted
Rocks by
Rock.
Ethan?
You
by
are
Ethan?
Reading Rocks
by Ethan Smith. Yes.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Okay, Ethan. I'm going to do you some justice. Limey green brown water crawls around the creek bend. Under the wilted willow tree on the east end of this dead red dust cover in me down backyard, but even its call has left the bank old, so scarred. One long crooked creek path paves its own peculiar way through Bermuda patches down to that red panther creek's clay. There, on the shallow muddy banks, under an August red sun, a smooth river st-
stone clad in pastel yellow paint, this one. Buried where years ago obnoxious little toes from neighborhood kids dug curious little rose. I can make out a faded black smile on that happy rock, the one you placed on him half drunk at 1 o'clock. Certain days I imagine I take him on a foray to see the panic glass windows that your father had made on the east end of the house where once there was willow shade. But I know that rock would shatter the glass that certain day. Then we would visit the tulip bed by the front screen door to see rosy reds you and mom planted there last year with sunburnt skin framing powerful smiles we can't get it yet. That happy rock would smash each bud until they swayed no more. There's not a green vinyl inch of this tired and lonely house. The happy little rock will willingly leave unseen. Tearing through baseboards, paper walls, and all that is in between, save for one old maple chest guarding a faded blue blouse. Blue like the raging river that once flowed in Panther's Creek before dust and deprivation made it some cheap antique. Blue like one half buried hand painted river rock, the one I painted you half drunk at 1 o'clock. Sorry, Ethan.
Wow.
But
no, you did well.
No, he did well. Really well.
Brilliant poem.
What an amazing journey you took me on. The colors were a fantastic touch, making the imagery of this piece pop with delightful hues.
Definitely a visual, right?
Yeah.
What's he painting the rock with? What do you think?
Sorry, cut up.
What do you think? He mentions it twice, that it is a painted, to paint the rock at 1 o'clock, or he left
yeah.
it at the rock at 1 o'clock, and then he ends saying, I painted with you half drunk at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Is there more significance? Is there what's the significance of the word painting the rock? Is it a reality of being too drunk?
No, I think, Hatter, it was like sending a bottle out with a note into the sea, and the memory of doing something really, you know, positive together, I think, is where that's coming from.
That's
my
buried mom and dad. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
And reading cold, we've all done it. It's not easy to do. So you read it well. So
reading it like the color, the theme of it, painted rocks. Reading it, it gave me the sense of colors, like so a very fitting title to a very fitting poem. I read it cold, and if I read it again, it will probably flow a little bit better because but beautiful, I mean, like, imagery. This is very visual poetry right here.
Yeah, reading cold, you don't know what the cadence is, and you're trying to catch up all the time, so it's not an easy thing to do, but the more you do it, AP reads everything just like you wrote it. So I even sent mine out to him. Read my stuff, would you please?
Thanks, Adam. No. I just, you know, I think the thing about reading a poem, if you haven't read it before, and I know you haven't here, was that it's always best to be slowing down and the way you read it, because you slowed, it sounded like it was like halting, and it really suited the poem, that style of how you delivered it, and so I thought it was a terrific read, and I really love the poem. I love that sort of sense of togetherness with that stone that yeah. Heather asked me about it, and I just love the sense of the presence in the poem. I thought it was a fantastic touch.
Linda.
Muted.
Where'd the Lico go?
I don't know. Linda, are you there with us? Because we had some funny buggers going on at the studio, and I heard that they were going to stop us in about 5 or 10 seconds. They could drop people.
Yeah, I got
muted
just a little while ago.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. Linda, is that you?
Yep.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can. I was just saying,
okay.
I
think my Bluetooth
got some messages
just
in the studio.
Out.
Yeah. But if we want to give, we should give Jay the chance to make a comment about that piece as well, Jay.
Oh, I just, I love it. I really do. It swirls together in colors. It's a rainbow. We associate all of our feelings with fragrances, sounds, music, color, and this is so visual. But these are the voices of the soul, and that's what you've taken us on, a trip through a solid building, but you've colored it all with these beautiful feelings. And it's just, it's lovely. I love the way it's tied together.
Cool. Okay, AP, did you comment?
Linda? Yeah, I did while you were away. I think we might have to close up shop because it's dropped you, it's dropped Hatter, and it's not showing on the board at the minute as actually recording. So I think we might have, in the difficulties we've had with the studio, I think it might be limiting to that.
Oh, and we've got two more people.
We have, but we could do them next week, Linda, when we've got a little bit more stability about this studio because it's doing some silly things at the minute in the background.
Okay, so caller 916, first of all, is this Hatter?
Yes.
916? And 907,
yeah, he's
calling.
Dropped.
Oh, that's me, duh.
That's you, yes, and then we've still got, to finish up, we've still got Jay, myself, and Masterpiece, I suspect we're not being recorded at this point, Linda.
Right, okay, well let me say my thanks to all you lovely poets out there that have made my show. AP, you always such a big help. Hatter, you as well. Wayne, we love you. Sweet Pea, I love you. Masterpiece, welcome to the show and many more times again. Jay, and thoughts and prayers and go out to Carmine and his wife. Jay, thank you. Lawrence, Jenny, Heavenly Angel, Dave Muddy, Old Town, what was it, Old Town? That was your friend, AP. Anyway, Quicken, Ethan, and Rhonda, we'll get you next week. And Gerald Green. I don't know what happened to Gerald tonight, but we'll put him down for next week. And I think that's it.
Good job again, Linda.
Well, thank
well
you
done,
very
you guys.
Much. And sorry the show had to poop out like this, but there we go there. So I'm going to close the episode now. And again, thank you, AP, for your help.